God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me, and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those that I would help of thy love, thy power, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Hi guys, my name is MJ and I'm an alcoholic. I want to thank everybody doing service on this meeting. I want to say a big hello to all of you newcomers that were brave enough to come in and share your days. I'm here to report you guys that there is a solution and recovery is possible, one step at a time. So today's a bit different. I haven't been asked to come and share my story, although you're probably going to get a little bit of that weaved in between. You've asked me to come and share about step three. And what does step three say? It says, I've made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Oh, I could probably share for 25 minutes just on that. Those words alone. I come in here in real bad shape, you guys. Really, really bad shape. You know, my reality for any of you newcomers on here is that when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was a prisoner in my own home. I was existing on a mattress on the floor. But even worse than that, I was a prisoner of my own mind. You know, alcoholism stripped absolutely everything from me. And it was my situation that then provided me with the surrender that was required in order to come into these rooms. See, even sober, I need a situation to bring about belief that then provides the decision. And the reality is that the situation was so bad, I was hopeless, or at least I thought I was. And hopeless for me is not believing that there is a way out. See, I need to believe that there isn't a way out for me to then surrender to whatever the problem is. And at first, that was alcohol, which then sparked some belief in me to make a decision. And then I come to these rooms and I realize that I'm not hopeless. I'm just powerless. And there's a big difference. See, admitting powerlessness isn't defeat like I thought it was. Admitting powerlessness is the start of freedom. See, hopelessness is me believing that there isn't a way out. Powerlessness is simply me understanding that I don't have that way out. So I make this decision in step three based on the circumstances that provide me with the belief to hand my will and my life over, which is my thoughts and my actions over to the care of God. Now, if you're new around here or you're struggling with that God, please stick around. Because, as the step quite rightly points out, it's a God of our own understanding. And in my step two, which I'm not going to go into because I'm here to talk about step three, I get to craft my own. There's 106 people on this meeting. And if I asked each and every single one of you what your God was, it'd all be different. Now, I ask for my God to be loving, kind, compassionate, caring, thoughtful, understanding. I also ask for a sense of humour, and I'll get to that in a minute. But there's a word in there that's really important for me. It says the care of God. My God cares for me. And I make a decision to hand over what was the train wreck of my life to the care of this God that I get to craft. Not you, not anybody else, But me, you know, and at first I don't understand any of this stuff. That's the truth. I don't. And my sobriety date is the 2nd of January 2023. And for the first 18 months of my sobriety, I was very lost. And I was still in a whole heap of pain in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the reason that I was in a whole host of pain and still very lost was because I didn't buy into this God idea. I didn't buy into the 12 steps. What I bought into was you guys. And that was okay. Very painful, but okay. You know, what we do around here, the unity and the fellowship is so powerful. And my truth is that it was powerful enough to keep me sober, but not for 18 months, but not powerful enough to keep me sober beyond that. I was dying in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I contemplated suicide more sober in these rooms than I ever did back out there. No, but I come in here, you know, and I finally have a surrender in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. How do I get there? Through my circumstances, right? Through my situation that provides me with the belief that I can't do this by myself. See, I have to go through steps one and two to get to step three, right? And I have to do that continuously now, even sober. You know, I thought that I would come in, take these steps, you know, I'd get a certificate at the end, be on my merry way and wave you all goodbye. But when I finally made the decision to turn my will and my life, so my thoughts and my actions over to the care of this God, I realized I've got to do this for a lifetime. And I also realized that I want to do this for a lifetime. Because the life that I've got today is so far from that mattress on the floor. Now, the life that I've got today, I can't even put into words, you guys. You know, my thoughts led to actions that put me on that mattress. You know, and I suffer from alcoholism, right? So yes, before I got here, the alcohol was the problem, or so I thought. But then I come in here and I realize that my problem is far worse than that. The problem is me. The alcohol was but a solution. You know, I've got a really warped sense of reality. You know, I've got a committee of people up in my head, and they're not on my side. But in that head as well, there's a sober MJ, a 100% sober MJ. And in that head as well is my God. So what does this all mean? That I take the steps when I first come in from my alcoholism, because yes, I'm suffering from a problem that I cannot solve. But I continue to take these steps daily because I still suffer from alcoholism. Now, alcoholism is an obsession of my mind and an allergy of my body. You know, the obsession in my mind sober is that I believe that I'm better than. I believe that I'm worse than. You know, I believe, even though my experience has shown me that I am worthy and then what I'm doing is right, that I'm not, that I can't handle a situation. You know, the very thing that God's put me in, I'm not good enough for. I'm selfish and self-centered and run on fear. You know, so I get myself into situations that feel uncomfortable and I don't like it. You know, but as a result of these steps, I don't have to sit in that uncomfortability today. You know, it tells me to think well before I make this decision. And I hear people in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous say all the time, don't make any big decisions in your first year. Now, this is quite possibly the biggest decision I'm ever going to make. Because I'm gonna hand over these really warped thoughts and actions to the care of this God. And how do I do that? Our literature tells us that the first requirement is that I be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. What does that mean? Any life means my recovery life, my home life, my work life, can hardly be a success when those thoughts in my mind are trying to produce the action, are trying to produce the outcome. Now, me trying to force an outcome, fix, manage, and control a situation led me to that mattress on the floor. And, what was the measure of success in my life? That man, that job, that money, that car. Today, the measure of success for me in any of those lives is peace, is that wonderful word that we use around here, serenity. And by the time I got to step three, I was convinced that any of those lives run by me could hardly be a success. I have this problem today where I forget what my baseline is. I forget that mattress on the floor, and I've got this life today with these problems that are so trivial in the grand scheme of things that I forget my baseline, right? Now, the reality is this, that I've not too long started a new job, and it's really difficult. Guys, really, really difficult. I'm facing fires at every single juncture. Every single juncture, literally. And I'm in fear about it, right? I don't know what to do. I'm doubting myself. Am I good enough for this? And the reality is this, that I have taken the 12 steps. I have a God who cares for me. A God that would not have put me in this situation if he did not believe I could handle it. So I've got a decision to make. Am I going to hand over those really messed up thoughts and actions to the care of this God that I get to create, that I get to craft, that I get to choose? I was speaking to a good friend before this meeting, and he reminded me that God didn't save me from the cesspool to let me drown in the bathtub. The problems that I'm experiencing today are really trivial, right? And on Monday, work was particularly bad, right? And I found out that I've got a really busy 6 weeks ahead. Really, really busy 6 weeks ahead. And what did my head tell me? That's it. I can't do recovery. I'm going to have to tell all my sponsees that I can't see them. I've got to focus just on work. Right? I don't need God. I just need to focus on this. That's that crazy thoughts of mine. But thankfully, I've made a decision to hand that over to a God of my understanding today. So I don't act on those crazy thoughts. What I did instead was I went home. I had an early night. I did my nightly routine, my prayer and meditation. I handed it over. And the following day, I felt a little bit different. See, I know today from experiencing God and having God in my life that emotions are just temporary. When I was back out there, I used to invite those emotions in. I used to sit them down and have a cup of tea with them, right? I used to give them dinner and everything. Today, I can watch them come in, but I can equally watch them go out. Because I've been through a process in these rooms where I know, based on my own experience, that it's only temporary. And that usually the greatest breakthroughs come just before, when I'm experiencing that pain, when I'm experiencing that discomfort, when I feel like I just want to give up, is usually when the greatest things are meant to happen or do happen. You read out how it works, and the first line of how it works is, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. My old sponsor says it like this, that we have a 100% success rate in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for those of us that live in a 12-step program. And I'm here to report that that is true. Because when I don't do all of the stuff that I need to, I sit in uncomfortability and I can't see a way out. I believe in my own thoughts that lie in my head. And if I don't do what I'm supposed to, I can end up in a whole host of trouble. Those pertinent ideas spell it out beautifully, right? That I am alcoholic and I cannot manage my own life, right? And what that means for me today is that I am still an alcoholic. The obsession to drink has been far removed for me. That doesn't even enter my mind today. But what does enter my mind today? That I'm not good enough. That I'm going to self-sabotage. That I'm better than you. All of that crazy stuff. I've got an alcoholic mind. I, me, MJ, cannot manage my own life. Now it says that probably no human power could relieve our alcoholism. Now, meetings are great. They are. I sponsor many people, right? And I've got a sponsor. But the answer is quite clear there. That no human power can relieve this problem. You might be able to keep me sober for a minute. Coming to hang out with you guys or talking to you guys about my problems will help me for a minute. But no human power can relieve my alcoholism. But guess what, you guys? I've got this God that lives inside of me that I get to craft. It's going to solve my problems. See, I used to think that he was going to help me solve my problems, right? But what I know today is that he is going to solve the problem. And my responsibility is to be a demonstration of his love, his power, and this way of life, as that step-free prayer says. So, my responsibility isn't to try and force, manage, fix, and control the outcome. It's to show up and do his work today. Because I've made a decision to hand my thoughts and my actions over to his care. And if I do his work well, I get paid. Now, I've got a pretty good job. I get paid pretty well. But the payment I get from God, money can't buy. The payment I get from God is is peace. is serenity. And I'll tell you what, that was all I was after when I first got in. That was all I was after. The final one of them pertinent ideas is that God could and would if. And that's my favourite word in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I like to have a choice. I'm an alcoholic, right? And I can choose not to see God. Now, but what happens when I do that? I end up wanting to tell you lot to bugger off, go about it alone, right? And get myself into a big situation. You know, but when I choose to seek God, because the reality is that God isn't lost. You know, God doesn't turn his back on me. I turn my back on him. I believe that I've got this stuff. You know, I believe that I've got the answer to the problem. But when I seek God, it says, could and would. What could he and would he? Believe my alcoholism. Believe those crazy thoughts that leads to the crazy actions. You know, and the could I get from you guys, because you tell me. But then the would I get from living it, right? Because then I start to realize that he will. You know, but I've got a forgetter, right? Part of my alcoholism is a forgetter. You know, where things get good. You know, and I forget that he would. And it's always the situation, the pain in the situation that leads me to that powerlessness that provides the belief for me to make that decision. Any life run by MJ can hardly be a success. You know, I have a wonderful life today. A wonderful life. And, you know, there's a situation in my life where I'd like to be in a relationship, you guys. I would. You know, but when I try and force, manage, and control this stuff,
You mean it's
I end up
love?
in. Thank you, my love. When I try and force, manage, and control this stuff, I end up in domestically violent relationships. I end up in situations where I get sexually assaulted because my mind, my alcoholism, and me in general does not know the answer. You know, and now that I've been sober for 3.5 years, you know, I look very different to what I used to. I get attention and I like it. You know, but when I try and force it, the only person that gets hurt is me. And that's in any situation. You know, so I've got two choices today. I can either continue to struggle or I can just let it go. You know, my experience, time and time again, when I let it go, is that God could and would if he was sought. Now, I don't know what God's got planned for me, but I trust and rely on my God today. You know, there is somebody in my life that I may or may not have a relationship with, but the reality is that I'm okay with that. I'm not on that mattress on the floor anymore. I've got a fellowship of people about me that care about me. And I've got a God in my life that runs the show. And thank God for that. I want to thank you for letting me run my mouth for a minute. My name is MJ, and I'm an alcoholic.
Thank you so much, MJ. I don't know about everyone else, but.